This is the CGW Podcast. I am Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief of Computer Gaming World, and with me today is the cast and crew of the magazine, which include the following.
Sean Malloy, managing editor.
Sean Elliott, previous editor.
Darren Gladstone, senior editor.
Ryan Scott, reviews editor.
And on the soundboard. Oh, he's not talking. He has no mic.
I have no mic, kids.
It's Sorry. Scott, but we love him anyway.
He has no mic, and he must scream.
Yeah. Scream, Scott.
Ah!
Wow.
How did you do it?
That was good.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Okay, so we will dive right into the fun at hand, and I guess a lot of fun was had by Sean Elliott and Darren this weekend, not the others of us. Maybe we had our own fun, but we didn't have the same fun that they had. Because what were you two guys playing? Tell the folks.
Half-Life 2, Episode 1.
And we likey?
We likey mucho. It was a fun game, man.
Yeah, it's very good.
Actually, that's probably the poster child for how episodic content should be done. It feels right when you play it.
Guess how long was it?
Well, I did a lot of exploring, and then I stupidly missed one part early on. You know where the when you first get trapped by the stalkers in the train car kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
There's like this one hole in a train car in the subway that I totally missed. I was like walking back and forth and I missed it until I turned my flashlight on it.
So you were just in there?
I was like walking back and forth like an idiot.
Oh, in the black subway.
Exactly.
Where it's like pitch black. All right.
Wait, actually, let's back up. So let's talk about how you get this game, you know, why people should get it, where you go to get it. Because you can't buy this at the store, can you? Some folks may not know this.
Not yet. It will be available later. It's probably available now.
I think it is.
Is it?
It's part of a deal with EA.
Okay.
EA's
publishing, just like Sin Episodes, first episode Emergence was out the same time in stores. You could do the same here. But I mean, the only reason to do that is if you just insist on having a hard copy, which a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, you still have to go through Steam to verify it and decrypt it and everything. So it's
even if you buy it,
even if you buy the hard copy, yes, you're not escaping that.
As long as you have a broadband account, you just get the
copy there with you.
So how long did it take you guys to download the episode?
Well, I didn't actually do a timer on it because I set it to download while I left work for the day. Uh-huh. And I started the download, and by the time I was there in the morning, it had preloaded.
Okay.
Yeah, I preloaded the same thing, and it was cool because it went global on Tuesday at 10, mm-hmm. and you could see all the people lined up on the message boards, and then as soon as, you know, people were decrypting, they'd pay screens saying, you know, look, uh-huh. we're decrypting 75%, and then we'd all jump in. At first, we were like, all right, let's agree to come back every other level and post impressions to get the people that didn't buy it, you know, wondering
uh-huh.
and excited, but then there was this, like, five-hour silence after that, and it was basically all of us playing it and like not wanting to put it down. Yeah, so the entire time I played it all in the office that day, so you know, it didn't take that long. But it's like Half-Life 2, you know, when it came out, I just did not want to get away from it. I was just sucked into it completely. I wanted to just keep playing and playing. It picks up immediately after, I mean, as in seconds after the ending of Half-Life 2. So answer some questions right off the bat as to what happened, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. you end Half-Life 2 and you're frozen in time, but the G-Man.
Does it not feel cheap or lesser because it's episodic as opposed to, you know, a full-on expansion, say?
I didn't really think of it in that respect. I mean, basically, I think they already, like, learned lessons from the first game, you know, from the first installment, I guess. And, I mean, like, Sean and I were going back and forth earlier about this, about how just the interplay with Alex just feels so much different and so much better from the first Half-Life 2.
It's really tightly focused. I mean, Valve was talking about it in terms of it being a short story compared to the novels that are their full release games, and you could see it. I mean, whereas in Half-Life 2, you start off with the view of the Citadel and you end inside the Citadel. Here, you start off inside you start off with the view of it again, mm-hmm. and then you go, and by the end of it, it's the last thing you see again, but something else has happened to it, you know, but it's got this really tight circular patterning to it, and then as Darren said, the big focus here is on Alex, you know, on the characterization of her, and then just being with this other person, and it works so well that, I mean, you look at her and she never says anything that makes you want to groan or something, which is, I mean, that's a huge compliment in video gaming, because anytime a character opens his mouth too much, you just want to turn them off, you know, and So big ups to the writers on that.
She actually felt like, I mean, it felt like a real person was there with you, which kind of pulls you into the story further, which I thought was the coolest part.
And right. She actually opens her mouth, too.
And they really
Guild Wars.
Put work iterating into it, too. So for example, if you just say, hey, let's have this woman in here with you, and she's going to go along everywhere you go. I mean, a lot of people are going to get annoyed and say, oh, she's bossy, or I have to follow her or whatnot. And so they did explore all those, as the commentary explains. But ultimately, because people reacted in that way, you know, I just want this lady shut up. You know, I want to do what I want to do. They found some middle ground through iterating works. Like, she still has a personality, but she's definitely not controlling your experience or anything. The downside of it is I think that the more they make her a sympathetic character and the more life they give to her, the less alive Gordon seems, because Gordon his only means of interacting with the world's violence. And I'm sure like, I mean, Val's aware of it. I mean, it's like the character Dr. Brain accuses him, you know, what have you ever made? All you've ever done is destroy things. And so he's kind of like this autistic weapon, because he can't talk to her. Mm-hmm. He can't hug her. And there's all these times when she's showing all this emotion and, you know, you're leaving and she's pressing her hand on the glass and saying goodbye, and it's like it's almost bringing
out.
You
can hit her with the crowbar, can you?
No, you can't do anything like that. So now it's just
you never listen,
because she's handled so well. It's kind of bringing up these new issues where you're like, well, what then? You know, where that part of the game is a movie you watch, and then the game part is the shit that you're blowing up and the stuff that you're fighting. You know,
maybe this is all just a men are from Mars. You know. You know, she talks, she cares, and you just kill shit.
Yeah. There's times, you know, like, she gets, you know, I don't want to give too many spoilers away. I think a lot of people have already played it, but there's times where she definitely could use, like, a word or two or something just to say, like, hey, I actually am acknowledging that you exist, that you're here, you know. Other things about the game is it's really, I mean, if Valve's done the sort of, you know, amusement park ride design in the past, they've really done it in this one.
Wow.
It doesn't have even some of the more open-ended parts in Half-Life 2. And they were pretty few and far between. But there were a few sections where you had some options. I don't want to say. I'd say, I guess, maybe in terms of how you're handling antlions, there's times when you have, you know, options afforded to you. You didn't either use them or not. Use them in different ways.
The
car section. Some people, you can just get rid of. You just can forego the Jeep if you want. And the speed runners actually bunny hop that whole section.
Oh.
Since it's paradoxically faster than the vehicle. But here, and then, you know, a few other things were opened up. There's the part inside Nova Prospect Prison where you get the turrets out and you have to set them up a certain way. And then
instead of
moving forward, because the game's moving forward rapidly, you stop and you have to figure out how you're going to survive this encounter.
Fun. That was a good level.
Yeah, yep. So the two sections in Episode 1 are very much like that. And I thought those are the ones everyone's responding to. You hear people talking about an elevator, and that's basically, you're waiting for an elevator to come, another scenario you've heard before, but then all hell breaks loose and a lot of stuff comes at you and you've got to figure out how to do it, how to survive it. And there's something else that's kind of like that toward the end. But it's kind of hard to fault them, because it's the rail ride is so well done and it's so smooth and inobtrusive that you just have a good time playing it. But at the same time, you kind of wonder, like, you know, what would it be like if they stopped more and let the AI breathe, gave it a little more room to let the fights last a little longer?
Yeah, and in that respect, I think it's where, like, they might have, I mean, another Steam game that just came out recently, Sin Episodes. Well, one thing that their strength is that they made it just an unapologetic shooting gallery. And that, in that respect, that game worked. Now, I almost wish that some of that got poured more into Episode 1. But
that there was more straight shooter stuff?
Well, at least just more targets to hit, more, you know, something along those lines. But otherwise,
do you miss the breasts too?
Oh yeah, I really, man, that was such an uncomfortable moment at the home trying to play that as my fiance is watching
at Shea Gladstone.
Seriously, that was
a few other things I really wanted to see in this game that we have every reason to believe we'll see them in Episode 2. Oh my God, I got a cough again.
Sean dies every week on the podcast.
Okay, so. No new weapons in Episode 1, and very few new creatures. And while Valve was really, when we last spoke with them for Aftermath cover story, they were really proud of the fact that when people came to them asking them what's next, they weren't asking what are the new weapons, what are the new levels, what are the new creatures. They're asking them about motivation, you know, weightier matters like that. But at the same time, I think it is the monster menagerie and the weapons that make Half-Life series what it is. And so without new without too many new entries in it, you kind of find yourself, well, hey, why are you guys being stingy? Throw some more in there. And I definitely, they're alluding to all that in a second. And the trailer that they show when you complete episode one shows clearly some new things.
Well, technically, and there was one new weapon. I mean, well, in a sense, when you
the flare?
When you capture the mines and Alex reprograms them to hunt the...
Right.
So, I mean... Yeah,
that was the equivalent of the ant lines
exactly.
in this one. But
hey,
does only use dog that two come times.
Back? Is dog in episode one? Or episode two? Sorry.
He's the very first episode thing you one. See.
He's the very first thing you see. And actually, it's a really cool... I don't want to blow anything for people who haven't played the game yet, but it's a very cool opening sequence that revolves around dog.
So not any genuine interaction with him, though, which is kind of disappointing. But
yeah, well, definitely want to see more of him, that's for sure.
So how long did it take you to breathe through? Did I ask you that?
Took me about, you know, the recommended 6 hours or so.
It's like four for me or something. I played again on the commentary mode and really enjoyed that. And commentary mode on it's great, too. Not fluff at all. I mean, as you're playing, real eye-opening. I was talking to Sean Malloy earlier about how at the best moments, you just interact with the world in some way, and then you hit the commentary panel, and it basically just explains, you know, what you just did and why. And you're like, I did do that, you know.
So what, it will flash when there's a comment?
They're floating.
Well, they're
blurbs.
Floating bubbles around the
cool.
world. So and you kind of activate them whenever you like you use anything in the environment.
Wow!
And that was one of the good things that they took from Lost Coast, and I hope they do with a lot of other developers pick up and do as well.
It's really pretty revolutionary, I guess, what they're doing. I mean, it's kind of a quiet, like, huge deal, but you know, I mean, this is a major expansion to a huge major game, and it was released online first.
Right. And I think it's going to do, I think it's doing really well already, and we'll continue to do well. And it ends on such a good note. You know, how we're talking about how the problem with Sin episodes is that I haven't even, you know, finished the thing. And it's like, by the time the next one comes out, how much anticipation is going to be there. But this one, the moment it ends, you want more. You're like, I can't wait. Can I have that now? And then the problem is then, it's like, oh God, 5 months is such a long time to wait now. I want to play this right away. And then, so I think a few of the things, in addition to the variety, ending with a teaser trailer of the next one. I mean, that's just basic episode stuff. It would be like the end of a Lost episode without a teaser. So they did that right. And then the teasers, like, they spend the whole episode making you really care about Alex. And then the first thing you see in the teaser is that it looks like she's dead or she's dying or something. So it's definitely a cliffhanger. And they introduce more questions, just like we were saying in our previous podcast, how they've got to, like, keep some things out there that they'll develop over time. So they're nailing it on all those counts. Now the big thing is we got to wait another 5 months.
Yeah. If you really think it'll hit it in 5 months.
I think they will, just because I suspect that they've kind of take an approach a lot of, like, the high profile comics artists will do, where they'll do a 6-issue series and they'll wrap like 3 of them before they announce the thing, and then they're slow on the last few ones at the pace they work. So I think they've got a good head start on 2 already. I mean, look at the trailer. It's like,
yeah, I sure hope so, because I mean, I'm looking forward
to it. The commentary reveals too. You'll find a lot. I don't want to spoil too much, but a lot of the setup there, it's kind of like, it was different. They're saying it's difficult because this is already basically done for 2, and we just had to set it up here. And
5 months is a long time. Yeah, but I guess when you think about, you know...
So is 5 years, I guess.
Yeah, 5 years or 2 years between expansions.
So were you seeing a lot of the same areas from the original?
That was the other thing. I mean, they're different, I mean, environments, but they're similar. There's a hospital, you know, and hospitals are sort of similar to prisons in a weird way, so it kind of reminded of Nova Prospect. There's subway sections and
it's just like Ravenholm-ish.
So it definitely was... You know, it's different. It wasn't exactly the same, but you're in the same environments and whatnot. Different, you know, different parts of the Citadel, much deeper inside it and things like that.
It is kind of cool. You see some kind of similarities. Like, I mean, obviously, it's the Citadel. When you go back in, it's falling apart the second time as opposed to when you're there the first time, you know, fighting your way up to the top.
But I really, though, I agree. I mean, I wish there were all new environments. And so for 2, it's like we know now that they're moving out into some kind of deep forest, likely some Arctic areas and facilities and stuff. And I mean, I'm a sucker for that stuff. You know, you want to feel like you're in a new space, and they do their spaces so well.
So what do you think, Ryan? Are you going to play now that you've heard all this?
No.
Have you even played Half-Life 2?
He's still too busy playing Guild Wars Factions.
Actually, I think I was the first among us to play Half-Life 2.
Okay.
What?
I played it at some pre-E3 event.
Oh, that's right. He was.
What a waste.
Back before it came out. That you were supposed to go to.
So this
you
whole
played
time,
the entire game.
Oh, yeah, right.
No. I mean, I played like through. It was some like driving level.
I think they had the driving level.
Yeah.
So I think when you guys were talking about all that, Ryan is just hearing is just like wow, wow, wow.
Great Guild Wars.
Wow, wow, wow.
Had you played it at all after the E3 event? Had you played it at all after that? Or was that your only...
I might have played a little bit of it.
It's good.
I think that was...
You're killing me, Ryan.
The most exposure I've had to it, though.
Ryan, we've got I've got a shooter that came out today that's just for you. It's a mod for the Source Engine, and it's called Trojan, the Divine Playground. And
it's strap on that loincloth.
Yeah, so it's basically toga battles with slingshots and
awesome.
And spears, and there's like bullet time for your spear, and all kinds of funny stuff.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's pretty, but it's kind of fun playing it because it's like you can have like there's a ton of bots and they operate with you, so it's kind of like a two-player co-op game. But the other side is also has humans controlling. You know, they play the god characters and they just basically shuttle between the guys that they're controlling. But hey, it's different. I got to play more to give you a solid thumbs up or down. But if you don't like the guns, Ryan, you can use a slingshot in this one.
With the holy magic missile number 5.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not really the guns. It's the first person. I just don't like first person.
Does it make you nauseous or something?
It's just weird to me playing first person games where I can't see the character that I'm playing. It's weird. Like, it's like a peripheral vision.
Did you play Oblivion? Game.
No.
Would you play it if you could just scroll wheel back and see your character?
Possibly.
So how are you with weird. Like Tomb Raider kind of games or
those are
Prince
cool.
of Persia? Yeah.
And have you guys, this isn't a PC game, but have you guys played Unreal Championship on the Xbox?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like
I've played that. That's fine. It's just.
But not tournament.
So being able to scroll the wheel back a little bit.
You're talking about Unreal Championship 2, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. The first or second one, yeah.
The second one.
Intriguing. You guys have anything else to say about episode 1? So we should all get it.
Really,
I think you should definitely get it. Yeah.
Do we know how many episodes it's going to last?
Three episodes for this, I guess, this story arc. There's probably more.
How much is it?
$19.99. $20.
Okay.
On Steam and
retail. It really is worth it. Mm.
It's one of those things where when you're done, you're not even thinking about money.
Yeah, sure.
You know, everyone keeps saying that. Yeah. And then they break it down in the math, you know, and they were like, well, if you only played it for 5 hours and then maybe another 3 on the commentary mode, it's like when you're
playing. There's a lot of games that are 5 hours.
It's just money's not on your mind. You're like, this is a good game. I'm enjoying playing this. And like, if I didn't buy this, I would have really missed out.
That argument doesn't really hold it for me anymore.
I find it odd that people put a different price point on playing a game as opposed to like watching a 2-hour movie.
I was just gonna say, how much do DVDs cost? $21.
And even going to the movies, $10 to sit there for 2 hours for some piece of crud. Like you guys all saw X-Men. Don't you wish?
Actually, Scooter has
how
the best.
How was the game on that? Did any of us end up reviewing that
game? What's weird is the X-Men game and the Da Vinci Code game just kind of like snuck into the office as sort of like, you know, some bad cheese or something. And they're just sitting there. No one's picking them up. No one's reviewing them.
We got today, it was like extreme duck hunting.
Ultimate duck hunting. You actually get to select and train your dogs.
But the dog on it looked like it was biting its lip. If that was possible.
Really bad lip problems.
Yeah. The dog looked like it was biting its own lip.
It was one of those games.
Square-jawed dog with
can
like...
Can they do that?
No.
Nope.
But you look at it, you ever have something where you look at it and you feel bad for it so bad that you're almost like, I should just buy this. I feel bad for these people.
The people who had to work on it and making it.
But it's like some hillbilly on the back, you know, with his dog and I don't know.
All those deer hunter games.
Well, probably most of those guys are, you know, just... wishing they were working on Half-Life 2, right?
I don't know. Maybe they're really into it.
You could make a really good hunting game, and there are a few.
Or a duck hunting mod.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that when you look at them, they're always so homely looking in terms of the execution.
You actually want to shoot yourself instead of the duck.
That'd make a good line for a box.
Feel free to use that quote, guys.
Yeah, I'd rather shoot myself than play this game.
Let's scan when reviews come up of that, or when the one review. Actually, first we should see who reviews it, but then we got to like verify that they've got the Dick Cheney joke in there, too.
Right, of course. Yeah, the obligatory.
Need that.
Yeah. So we're probably not going to review that or Da Vinci Code or X-Men.
Well, actually, okay, we're probably not going to.
No, it's over the head.
He says no. I do have to throw out one thing, only because my fiance Amy, she is a sucker for the Da Vinci Code, so she wanted to play the game, and it's all about puzzles, and she seems to love it. So if you like puzzle games and you can forgive a little,
if you like the Da Vinci Code,
Amy says it's good.
That's a lot of
supposition.
That's a lot of ifs there, but you know what? A couple million people like like it. So it's not, you know.
All right. So Amy says check out the Da Vinci Code.
Exactly.
The rest of us who don't know anything about it say don't bother.
Or if you don't know Amy.
I listened to it in audiobook form.
He did.
Yeah. But the X-Men one,
unfortunately,
we might want to not dismiss it. I heard that the Iceman can shoot ice and the Wolverine got claws.
Really?
Does he snick?
Wow, that's fantastic.
And the Nightcrawler guy can teleport, so.
Awesome. Oh. I thought Nightcrawler isn't in the new movie.
He's not.
But
he's in the game?
You can only have two maximum blue characters, because they had Mystique and Beast. So
the whole
design
thing
would
rule?
Be the Smurfs.
Yeah.
Beast, Nightcrawler, and Mystique.
Did you make up that rule, Sean, or was that there?
No, that's in the book.
Really? You can only have two book. Blue characters?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's great.
Wow.
I gotta chill with that.
Meanwhile,
me too.
Kelsey Grammer playing like the Cookie Monster in that movie. Jesus, that was.
Or the Monsters Inc.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we are going to take a slight break here, and we'll be back with more exciting podcast fun.
One Up Network Radio is being brought to you by And One Streetball, the only authentic streetball game featuring the full roster of And One mixtape tour players. That's guys like Hot Sauce, Helicopter, and the Professor. It's available for PlayStation 2 and Xbox for $39.99 on Tuesday, June 6th at your favorite online and real-world stores. And One Streetball is rated E10 for everyone 10 and up. Hi, this is Garnet Lee, host of One Up Yours. Every week in the month of June, One Up Radio, along with And One Streetball, is giving away $100 iTunes Music Store gift cards. All you have to do is listen to One Up Yours this Friday afternoon to learn how to win. Or you can find the contest rules at our message boards. That's boards.oneup.com. $100 in iTunes goodness courtesy of And One Streetball and the One Up Radio Network. Sony Computer Entertainment takes no responsibility for this offer.
And we're back.
That was kind of weird. Like, mom just came in the room when we caught us podcasting or something.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Open the window. Make sure we get the smoke out.
Yeah, we have a sponsor now. It's kind of weird.
That's a good thing.
I guess it's a good thing.
Don't get ourselves in trouble. Let's move on.
No, I won't. I won't make fun of the sponsor.
Yet.
Chomping at the bit. Won't do it. Have we the Gary's Mod? We didn't. Well, you talked about the.
Well, Gary's Mod's going live. It's Gary's Mod 10 is coming up pretty soon, right?
Yeah, it's coming out on Steam. When we last talked to him for our story in the magazine for the mod. So, yeah, this is the Steam episode.
All Steam issue. Yeah.
But so much is coming out on there. But anyway, Gary Newman of Gary's Mod last told us that he had no interest
of Cars fan.
In making his game retail.
Not that Gary Newman.
Yeah. But so anyway, he is in fact now making his game retail for $5 over Steam.
That's cheap.
And with Valve's blessing. And you can get all the previous versions for free still. And it's just if you want number 10. And he's adding quite a few new features to it. And so
can you get the older ones for free still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's like Real Player or something.
And then other quick note on Gary is he's got this new game coming out called Face Wound. deliciously named. But it's because his studio is called Face Punch Studio. So it's kind of, you know, like Crytek, Crysis type thing. And it's this wacky-looking 2D sites. Well, it's like a pseudo 3D side-scrolling shooter game with weird floating brains and stuff and all kinds of internet in jokes and memes going on in the background, and it just looks completely chaotic. And no offense to Gary, but what was your reaction when you watched the movie, Darren?
Jesus.
Just like, Gary is retarded.
I'm like, no, I think...
But in a good way. He was like...
Yeah, I think...
Retarded in a good way?
Yeah, as in, let's get retarded in here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
Because you're watching it. It's so absurd, the crap on the screen. It's like...
Right. Don't send us angry letters. We mean it in the Black Eyed Peas way.
Right.
Because yeah, we're very street. And yet,
yeah. It's like if you took something off the forums and made a game out of it. So,
what did they mean, anyway? Let's get retarded in here. What did that mean?
We can dissect the lyrics for next time.
Let's be stupid. Is that what that meant?
Like, yeah. They meant
dumb,
instead of saying, girl, we couldn't get much higher, to say, girl, things couldn't get much better.
Okay. Didn't that get changed to let's get started?
Let's get
here.
It started, yeah.
Yeah.
Selling out to the man once again.
Yep. I hate the man. okay, so other than Steam, do we have anything to talk about this month? You're still playing Rise of Legends, right?
I am still playing Rise of Legends,
and
it's still good.
It's holding up.
Yeah, it has yet to piss me off, which is pretty good for an RTS.
So, are you still blowing through the single player campaign? You going
online? Yeah, just about at the end of the second of the three legs.
Okay, so you're in the Alum. You're in the Alum campaign, right?
Yeah,
now.
Right at the end of that one. About to start the Quattle, or however you pronounce that.
How is that though? I mean, like, I've only had a chance to play through the Vinci part so far, and it's just very steampunky. I mean, does the game change its feel as you're going?
Yeah, I was a little nervous when I started the Alien campaign because you still have the same units right at the beginning. So I'm like, oh, I thought I was going to play as some other group. But then plot stuff happens and you're suddenly playing as the other group. So you do get, it is a pretty distinct difference.
And they're pretty different too, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very like kind of Arabian themed and have lots of desert things and they're more magic-y. So.
And it definitely has a different feel, kind of like how when you played StarCraft for that first time through the campaign and there's the human Zerg and the
Protoss. I was hoping they would do that and they kind of did. They're not so different at this point that it's like mind-blowing, but because like I think the Zerg were like way different than the Terrans, so I think it's more of like a Protoss Terran kind of comparison. But maybe the third, I haven't even seen this third faction yet, so they could be completely crazy.
Every game should just add Zerglings.
All about the Zerg rush.
Yeah.
What about Hitman? Anyone playing that?
Just started. It's very basic right now, but I mean, I like the idea behind it. I only had time for the tutorial mission this weekend. It's a good start. I'll be able to report back next week.
All right. I'm still protesting those ads. They're just too gross. I don't want to play that game. I'm sorry.
The thing I want to know about this Hitman is the problem I had with the previous ones is, you know, there's supposed to be all these open-ended options and all these, you know, myriad ways that you can take out your mark. But sometimes it's really, there are only a few, and they're very carefully planned, and it's a matter of you figuring out what they are. And sometimes they're counterintuitive, and it's punishing you for, like, not getting them. And that's been the frustrating part for me.
I agree.
It's more, like, puzzle-oriented in a way, or...
Right.
I mean, well, they addressed that. I mean, I asked them early on when they were previewing the game the first time around, and they said that that's a big part of it is leaving many different ways for you to set up the hits. You can make, the idea is to make it look like an accident.
Right.
If you can make it look like an accident, and yeah, it's a little bit of puzzle solving in that respect, but it's not like the get the cat hair and the syrup to make me look like I have a mustache. But
it wasn't always like that. But I guess the difference between, say, a GTA mission where you're supposed to take out some guy when he leaves a movie theater, and then it really is literally up to you what you want to do. If you want to block him in by parking a million cars in there that you know are going to blow up by throwing a Molotov cocktail into him, if you want to snipe, whatever. Whereas in Hitman, there might be like to get in to satisfy the conditions where you can get close enough to this guy or whatever, you've got to do a few things. Like, you've got to find one very specific costume, but to get that costume, you've got to, like, kill him in a very specific way or find him in a very specific moment.
Right.
And so it's finding all those rules that it's like, you know, FAQ territory. And
yeah, I mean, like I said, I haven't gotten too deep into it, but I do like the fact that they're saying they're going to leave it open-ended and...
They're saying that too.
Well, I like them saying it. Hopefully they're actually doing it.
Yeah.
But there's something else that's kind of cool incentivizing it is that you actually want to go through each of these missions without being seen, because actually, like, newspaper reports are getting generated, you know, depending on how you perform in each mission. So if you leave witnesses or act suspicious around people, they'll actually be like at the end of each mission, there's like a fake newspaper and like it could be a police artist sketch of you, so that in the next
loading screen.
Well, pretty much, but in the next episode, in the next mission, they'll be looking for you from the get go. So it makes it it scales up the difficulty.
But that could be the bad thing. Imagine if you keep getting noticed and by the fifth mission you've got half the world looking for you.
So then
you got to reload mission.
So then it turns into a shooting game as opposed to a stealth game.
Cool.
I guess a lot of those games are kind of like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a different one to hear back from you again next week, because it's like, I'm this close to getting that game and playing it. I just need a little more convincing.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I haven't gotten too deep in, but the potential. So.
Any other games? We're very game heavy this week.
Well, that's really.
That's what we're supposed to podcast about.
That's
right.
What we do.
I'm sorry. Do we work? Would you rather talk about Desperate Housewives?
We can talk.
I've never seen that show ever.
Good for you.
Do you know what I did this weekend? I attended a wedding in World of Warcraft.
Oh wow!
Were you the best man?
I actually wasn't invited, but my daughter was. It was for her gift.
So you just
she was a bride
like freeloaded.
Yeah, I like went on the same server.
Wedding.
I was just sort of like hanging around the outskirts there. And
how did you feel at that moment? Describe your feelings.
Pretty stupid.
Explain to us.
Is this what she was making cookies and stuff for you were talking
about? No, that's for this coming holiday season. That's not till like Halloween and Christmas that they're making.
No, they having a bake sale, or are they actually?
No, they're giving away the cookies. Always
so in the spirit of
Darren
the season.
Always has an angle.
What's to stop a bunch of other players
always
from,
be closing.
From just riding through?
Oh, there was nothing preventing them. No, the wedding was in Darnassus, I guess it is. And there was a level 60 night elf priest who was performing the ceremony. And there was a dwarf male character and a female human, I think.
Oh,
and these two, I know, interbreeding.
She's only after him for his money.
Yeah, I was really against it, yeah, personally. And so they had the ceremony. They had bridegrooms and bridesmaids lined up, and they were all kneeling. You know, they all did the kneel.
Were they all, like, role-playing in the dialogue, too?
Kind of. Yeah, the priest was speaking and, like, you know, and he was yelling across the zone, too, so everybody in the zone could hear it. He's like, you know, do you, our Thane, take... You know, and other people who had no idea what was going on were just, like, writing back, STFU,
nice.
No WTF.
So where, like, in your gut reaction...
So were there any objections then to the ceremony?
Yeah, people were just objecting to them hogging the server chat, I think. Huh?
It was your gut reaction like, this is amazing stuff that this kind of thing can happen in a virtual world? Or was it like, oh, God.
It was a little
bit of both.
It was a little bit of both, yeah. I mean, because what was cool is in quotes, but like right when they said, I do, like all the people in the wedding party who were like engineers had made a bunch of fireworks. So they shot up all these fireworks into the air and people were dancing, getting more and more scared. And then for the party, they all went and they raided the crossroads. That was their party. They raided another zone.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. No, I look at Ryan.
Wow, Ryan.
This needed to be a video podcast.
That sounds
scared looking at
no, it. Does
here.
Sound, it sounds like it's more worse? Fun than killing 10 of these and collecting 5 of those.
I was doing that this weekend a little bit.
A little while?
Yeah.
But you didn't come 52. Across a wedding, though, huh?
No.
So it's probably a difference.
You're hanging out in Ungoro with the dinosaurs.
Ah, Ungoro. That's a good zone.
I like that one. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. High level.
Oh.
Got to be good to get there.
Yeah. You know, there has been kind of a game drought and like. The people I play games with online, there's repeatedly over the past few weeks, we've been like, should we just get WoW? Should we just give into it? And then we're always like, we kind of debate it. And we're like,
something comes along and you're like, phew, put this off.
Well, because, you know, we played Auto Assault for a little bit and then like our accounts ran out and it's like, I'm just not sure I want to pay a monthly fee for a game, an MMO with 5 people in it. And then
hello.
You know, I mean,
it's just an O.
Battlefield Armored Fury's coming out and that's going to suck up our time. But in between that, you know, we got to mix it up some.
Yeah, I got up to, I checked my played time right before I came down here. I'm up to 425 hours on my main character in WoW, which I thought was a lot. And then I went around and I asked other people on the floor, and I'm like a noob compared to some people.
How much is Bryce in for?
I didn't ask him, but Ryan Volk, who's the art director at Official PlayStation Magazine, is up to 260 days. In Final Fantasy 11.
Oh.
Holy.
260 24-hour days spent in Final Fantasy 11.
Wow.
That's a long freaking time.
Damn.
Yeah.
I thought I was a loser.
I think that...
Ryan Volk, you're the loser.
You know, people
he's definitely getting his money's worth, that's for sure.
Well, yeah.
Jeez.
I'm up to... I checked my Guild Wars time before we came up here. And over the past 30 days, I've played this one character for 143 hours and 52 minutes.
In Factions?
Yes.
And the game...
Yeah. The character that I just created for Factions.
Wow.
Wow.
Congratulations, man.
We should have some kind of little tracker in our letter section where we get someone to give us proof that they've spent, like, some ridiculous amount of time in their game.
Yeah.
Someone can give us, like... I don't know, like over 1,000 hours in some game.
I wonder if those companies treat it like Netflix does. You know how, like, Netflix punishes you for, like, renting and returning fast? You know, like... You're not as economical for them. What they like are the people, Netflix likes the folks who, like, get 3 movies and then take 2 months to watch them, right? And they're still paying their $20 a month.
Crash was sitting on my television for literally 6 months.
And see, they just... love you. But it's the people who return them over and over and over that they end up losing money on because of the postage. So I wonder if MMOs feel that way. Like, if Ryan's logged in 24/7, are they, God damn it,
get him
quit hogging
here.
Up our frickin' server space.
They're going to keep...
Log out, you loser.
Actually, we should do that for our mail bites this month. We should have people email in or go to the forum and tell us how long they've been on there.
Actually, that could be kind of funny for like the letter section. Like, take a screenshot of like the number of hours or something, and the one.
Okay.
Yeah. Not just MMOs.
If you're listening and you think you have a particularly long playing time, take a screenshot to prove how long it's been. Can it be a non-MMO? Is there a way to do a playing time?
I've got 450 in Battlefield.
But you can prove it though.
Yeah. You just go to bf2stats.com and it'll show you.
Okay.
Whoever can prove they have the least amount of life outside of gaming will actually give. Seriously, we have so much swag in the office.
We got those damn Guild Wars Z boards. We need to give.
They're going.
Either this or they're going to like some dude down on the street.
The all right man on the corner.
Right. Yeah. So hear that. You can win something that we're about to give away to a street person. How enticing is that? Maybe we could come up with something a little more.
Actually, a surprise.
I got a couple random tchotchkes for whoever can like provide the proof.
The all right man, by the way, is our local homeless guy.
He's a really nice guy.
He says all right, like right. Pretty much to the exclusion of any other words. But we've hooked him up. I've given him Medal of Honor real leather jackets.
And did you really?
Yeah, I give him all the free shirts and stuff we gave, and wristbands would go to the All Right Man but I never saw him wear any of them. He was wearing a hat one time, but hey, whatever he does, it's all
he's
good.
He's not around anymore. Where'd he go?
I don't know.
I hope he just moved to another block.
Yeah, every once in a while, I'll be like driving through Berkeley or something, and I'll see like a construction worker or a undocumented worker wearing like a System Shock shirt. And I'm like, what the hell? That's got to be one of us.
They're at E3.
They were at E3. Yeah. Okay. We're getting to wind it down, you
long talkers.
We got to the point where we're construction workers in System Shock shirts and homeless dudes in leather Medal of Honor bombers jackets. That's a wrap.
That's when you hit the wrap it up box.
Hey, but we kept on topic almost the whole time this time.
How are we doing all right?
Props to us. 30 minutes.
Oh, so
that's a long time.
We'll never get to our reader questions.
Oh, yeah. We had a reader question, but we'll hold that out for next week. Or will we?
Oh.
You'll have to listen next week and find out.
Consider that an episode of Cliffhanger right there.
But remember, we'll consider that gauntlet thrown down there. Sending your screenshot proving how long you've played your game. If you think you've played like, a severe buttload of time, and we'll have some kind of gift for you.
Whoever's played the longest.
And there's a few factors, like if you've gotten married in game, we'll give you another free 10 hours.
There's a whole waiting system.
We'll wait it. Okay, depending on how
if
big.
If you're in a role-playing server, too, you automatically like
that's
add a
true.
Third.
That's
like
fiddle.
Multiply it by a third.
Uh-huh. And have only spoken in role-playing.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank y'all for listening, and we'll catch you again next Monday.